to it. Just rest. Just relax. Amen? What is it Lori said earlier? There's your way, and then there's God's way. I mean, if you want to go with God, let's go. If not, well, I guess you'll just kind of tootle around and whatever it is you do and be ineffectual and, just spend all your money on your own lusts and what all. And the work of God will be limited in your sphere. But God wants you to come into His presence. He wants you to come into His Word. We're going to read a little bit about that. First Peter, Peter was talking about that in when he was writing to the strangers scattered throughout Asia and Asia Minor, and basically where the place that was Turkey. So we're going to talk about that today. Amen. Well, God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Could you turn over to First Peter chapter 1. Father, we just thank you today. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you today that you just carry us. Carry us into your presence. Carry us into your promises. Carry us into your Word. Thank you, Lord God, that is not something we do, not something we perform. But you have called us. You have delivered us from this world. And you have brought us into the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus. You're transforming us and changing us. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to your mercy that you saved us. So as we ask you to come and declare to us your word today and set us free, that Lord God, daily we are being redeemed in our souls. Our spirits are completely restored. Our spirits are completely redeemed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, just like our bodies will be in the future. Our spirits were transformed the moment we received Jesus. But Father, we know that there's a flesh involved and there's a soul involved that you must daily kill. And we invite you to kill that flesh. We invite you to take our flesh and crucify it, nailing it to your cross, all of the deeds of the flesh, so that as we walk with you, you are causing us to be in your presence. You're causing us to walk according to righteousness. In Jesus' name, thank you for revealing your word to us today. Amen. All right. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, Peter. And now, of course, this is the salutation in the ancient times. Letters were different cultures. Letters were, you put the salutation at the front, at the top, at the beginning, to let you know where the letter was coming from. Nowadays we put it at the end. We have a little envelope and we ship it in a little envelope. And when you open the letter, you have to read the letter to find out, if they put a return address on it, who it was from. But pretty much you have to read the letter and find out who it was from at the end. Well, who wrote that? Sincerely, John. Sincerely, Peter. No, but here he begins, the letter begins with the salutation, lets you know exactly who you're reading, lets you know what exactly that you're going to be reading whose letter you have in your hands. So Peter, well, who's Peter? Was he Peter the who did fish? Or was he Peter that did carpentry? What Peter was it? Peter who? Because you don't have last names in those days either. Peter, son of Jonas. Simon, son of Jonas, Jesus is who we call him. Then Jesus gave him a new name. He said, Simon Peter. From now on, I'm going to give you a new name. You're going to be Simon Peter, not just son of Jonah, but you're going to be Peter, the rock, a pebble, a little bitty pebble, a little bitty stone you can hold in your hand. So Peter was a little bitty pebble. But the occasion that Jesus took to name him was a revelation that he got from God. He said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter said, and Jesus said, Peter, thou hast, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. So about the time that you receive a revelation from God, he changes your name. Abram got his name changed to Abraham. Then there's this woman who he was married to, and her name got changed at the same time. You know, she's the lady that laughed when God said she was going to have a baby when she was 90. How many of y'all ladies would laugh if God said, I'm not going to talk to Leah? Or Lori, for that matter. Don't want anything weird to happen. Wouldn't want anything weird to happen. Praise the Lord. That woman got her name changed. Just like her husband got his name changed. You know, I think a woman and a man ought to have their name changed together, don't you? Amen. Abraham and Sarah. So they got their name changed. Did you get your name changed? Hallelujah. You're called by the name of Jesus. You're called by the name of Jesus. Every morning he calls you by name. Every morning he calls you by name. Amen. He's calling you. Every morning he speaks to you. He speaks to your heart. Hey, did you know every day Jesus is speaking to you? He doesn't ever stop talking. He's continually talking. He's a talker. He continually is speaking to you. The Word of God is continually speaking to your heart. When you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit is continually speaking to you. He's continually ministering to you. You just got to hear Him. You just got to hear Him. You know, we talk about reading the Bible. You know, you don't read the Bible to get information. I mean, you might. You read the Bible to hear the to learn to hear the voice of God. You learn to read the Bible to learn to hear the voice of God. Well, I didn't even understand half of what I just read. Fine. It's okay. You're hearing His voice. You're hearing, well, it just got wrote back in 1500, first time they ever got it on a printing press. You know? No. God has been speaking throughout eternity. He's been speaking through the Holy Spirit by Jesus Christ since 2033, or whatever it is, whenever Jesus sent the Holy Spirit in His place. The Holy Spirit has been speaking. You just got an opportunity in about 500 years ago that you could buy the thing in print at the bookstore. Well, wonderful. But that doesn't preclude the fact that God has been talking that entire time. When somebody got filled with the Holy Spirit, he began to hear the voice of God. Amen. Those letters that got passed around, wonderful. Spirit of God was speaking through those letters, but the Spirit of the living God has been speaking to believers ever since Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. Amen? He's speaking to you. Oh, I left my Bible at home. Do you know God is speaking to you right now because the Holy Spirit's on the inside of you? Should you read the Word of God? Absolutely. Read the Word of God. It's appropriate. It's powerful. It's right here in your hand. You want to read the Word of God and let it speak to your heart and transform and change your mind. He said, gird up the loins of your mind. He'll say that later in this chapter. He's over there in Ephesians chapter 6 talking about putting on the armor of God. It says, put on the girdle of truth. Put on the girdle of truth. Well, girdles and girding up the loins, it sounds about right. It sounds about the same thing. Is you put truth in here. You shall what? Know the, Jesus said, you shall know the truth. And what? The truth will make you free. It's one of the last things Pastor Jim told Danny, where Danny went to kids, I guess. It's one of the last things Pastor Jim said to Danny. He says, Danny, I just want to know the truth. I just want to know the truth. Pastor Jim, you've been doing this for 50 years. Don't you know it yet? I just want to know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Amen. Amen? So that's what you want to do. You want to know the truth. You want to let the Holy Spirit speak to you. I'm always listening for the Holy Spirit. What does He want to say? What's He want to do? I know you are. You want to hear what the Holy Spirit has. Because He sets you free. He delivers you from all of your fears. Amen. He delivers you from all of your fears. All your trouble. Now, in the world, you're going to have trouble. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. Because I've overcome the world in which you have the trouble. I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. Cheer up. Take your face. Amen. Say, hey, bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. You command your soul to what to do. You remember we said that your soul is the problem. The mind, will, and the emotions, the part of you that grew up in this world, maybe even grew up in the church, part of you that grew up in this world and was trained, if you get punched, punch back. Here's how you live. Here's how this world works. Here's how you learn how to live. This is how the world teaches you. That's why they send you to public school, so you learn how to punch your neighbor. So you learn, you know, who fits in, who doesn't fit in. You know, now they're trying to tell you that they're doing a good work in your public school by telling you how different everybody is. No, just teach people math. Don't teach people how they're different. Just teach people math. Teach people how to read. Let God teach them. Let God teach them how to look at another person. Amen? Don't be teaching. You don't have any idea. And besides that, everybody's teaching a different thing if you begin to teach like that. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers are typically talking about the Jews, the strangers that have been dispersed, the diaspora, the strangers that have been scattered, the Jews that have been scattered throughout the world. And Peter, of course, is the minister, is the apostle generally to the Jews. Now, of course, you know, Peter was also used to break open the door to the Gentiles, as you may remember. I mean, he was there at the house of Simon the Tanner there in Joppa, and he was up on the roof starving to death, waiting for lunch, and all of a sudden this vision came down. Big old blanket, big old picnic blanket came down, and all kinds of things to eat that a good Jewish boy should not eat. I mean, it had pig in there and all kinds of stuff, you know, and a voice from heaven says, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." This is Acts chapter 10. "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." He said, "No, Lord." No, this must be a test. "No, not so, Lord. You know these lips have never tasted anything unclean," because he's a good Jewish boy. And he says, "Don't call what I've called clean, don't call unclean." So God was about to do a new thing. Where'd Lori go? Anyway, he's still going to do a new thing. He's going to do a new thing. So, when God began to do that, you remember when Jesus came, when the Greeks came to Jesus, you know, they came up, you know, there toward the end of his ministry. "Sir," we would, talking to one of the apostles, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And Jesus said, "Okay, I'm going to the cross." So Jesus said, "Okay, because now the Gentiles are looking for me? Okay, here's it's time to get this show on the road." So, Jesus went to the cross. Jesus rose from the dead. Then he gave the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit sent these guys out to reach the Jew first, but also the Gentile. So he's reaching the Gentiles. I mean, all of these people, he's sending it to those Jews who are scattered in the Asia area. Now, to the strangers scattered throughout. Now, listen to this. Pontus, Galatia. Galatia, you know, we got a book, right, in the Bible about it. Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Okay, all of those, if you remember your geography, anybody, the nation of Turkey, that's basically where all this is. That's Asia Minor, what the Bible called Asia Minor. It was that big, you know, the nation of Turkey, east of Europe, south of Russia, right there north of Syria and the Holy Land. So that's where that is. And so that's where all of these... this is not quite at the destruction of Israel, Jerusalem yet. Destruction of Jerusalem did not happen until 70 AD. This is about 65. So, but there was trouble brewing. And many of the Jews had already left. Many of Israel had already dispersed. Up near the Black Sea, there's a country called Moldova. Pastor Jim went to several times, and there were there was a Jewish population up there. See, part of when Israel was dispersed after the reign of Solomon and the split of the kingdoms between Judah and Israel, then the 10 tribes kind of disappeared and dissipated after Babylon came and took Judah after the destruction of Jerusalem at that time. So the ten tribes were dispersed throughout the world. They were dispersed throughout the world. And that's who these strangers are, is the Jews who are all over the world. But these are believers. Throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, and Bithynia. Verse 2. Elect. So these are believers. These are the church in Asia Minor. Okay? Elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, to obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Okay. Now, so those of you who are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, those of you who have been born from above, those whom God knew were going to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, He's speaking to you. He's talking to them, but He's also talking to you. Who are elect? Anybody elect here? Everybody should raise your hand. Yeah, because if you're born from above, if you're a Christian, if you believe that Christ Jesus was raised from the dead, you're one of the elect. Amen. You know, you just don't find out later. Well, I hope so. No, you don't find out later, because the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God, the children of God. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. God knew who was going to receive Him. God knew who was not. God knows who is going to receive Him. God knows who's not. Through sanctification, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, through sanctification of the Spirit. You're born of the Spirit. You're born again of the Spirit. Sanctified in your heart, in your inner man. Now, there's still work to do on the rest of you. There's still work to do on the way you think and the way you act. But you are sanctified in your spirit. You are born from above. You are a child of God. As if you have received and believed the name of the Lord Jesus, that Jesus Christ died for your sins, took all of your sins upon Himself, and that He was raised, God raised Him from the dead. Romans 10:9-10 says, you shall be saved. So you're elect, according to the foreknowledge of God, through sanctification of the Spirit, to the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. You know, the grace of God is upon you. The grace of God is in you, for you, through you. The grace of God is the gift of God that transforms and changes you every single day. You are changed by the grace of God. You're not changed by effort. Amen. You're not changed by your own strength or your own ability to do something better and more improved by the blood, the power of your strength. Even though you're born again, it's not you that's transforming you. It's not you that's changing you. It's Jesus. You're having fellowship with Him, coming into His presence, enjoying the presence of God and letting Him change you and transform you. You'll see things that as they're going by. You'll see things that God is transforming and changing on the inside of you. Amen. Isn't that powerful? I mean, when God saves you, He saves you to the uttermost. He didn't just half save you. You know, He didn't just like, well, okay, I gave you a kickstart. Now you're going to have to make the rest of the way on your own. No, absolutely not. When God saves you, He saves you to the uttermost. He saves you completely and fully by His power and by His Spirit. Amen. So that's why you're changing from one degree of glory to the next. You're being transformed and changed. Amen. As you're reading the Word, as you're in His presence. It's slower when you don't. It's a little slower when you don't. But as you come into His presence and let the Holy Spirit work on the inside of you and change you. You know, because part of what Peter was talking about, this period of time, is when all the Jews had been kicked out of Rome. And so here they are now, you know, in all kinds of parts of the world. And here they are in Cappadocia, Bithynia, and such places. And it's tough because there was a persecution what do you call it? A persecution letter that went out, basically. It's kind of like when Nero burned Rome, he said the Christians did it. Well, they started sending out information about that. You know, it's like sending it out on CNN or something, you know. Hey, did y'all hear the Christians burned Rome? All that good stuff we had over there. We had the swimming pool. We had the football stadium. And we had all this good stuff. You remember? Well, we had all that stuff. Well, the Christians burned all that, you know. So I think we ought to persecute those Christians. It got all over. You know, their communication efforts in the Roman Empire were not, they weren't like what we got now. They didn't have the internet, but they sure did have, they had a pretty good ability to communicate. And so those things went across the empire. Christians began to be persecuted across the empire for because they'd burned down Rome. So they were in trouble. Wherever they were, it's kind of like, you're Christian? Oh, man, you guys are bad. So, you know, people began to just look at them, look at Christians askance. You know what that means? And look at them sideways and not like, not sure about these people. Your neighbors who are Christians, well, you found out, you know, well, their buddies just burned down Rome. I wonder how these guys are. I wonder if these guys are going to burn us down here. So here we got trouble brewing all over the world with respect to people looking at a Christian. And so what God's doing, what Peter is doing is encouraging them in the Lord, encouraging them to be built up, encouraging them to be strengthened in the middle of a tumultuous world. Seems like we've got a little bit of a tumultuous world today. Seems like we've got a tumultuous situation here in our own nation, doesn't it? Seems like things have been, it's just rumbling here lately. Just crazy things, you know. You got the CRT business. You got, you know, LGBT business. You got, you know, what else? There's another thing going on. You got the COVID business, you know. You got the vaccination business. You got all kinds of things that people can disagree on and all kinds of things that people can be irritated about. You know, but God's not interested in you being irritated. Amen? Or you being afraid. What he's interested in is you loving and walking in peace and walking in love and ministering the gospel. Amen? People can think of all kinds of ideas to hate you, but you can think of all kinds of promises that God's got your back and God's taking care of you. God's taking care of everything that concerns you. Amen? 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 So don't go listen to go home and listen to Fox News. You know, well, that's the good one. Yeah, that's the one that gets you all stirred up. I got my father-in-law watching Sean. I don't have him doing it. He's doing it. He's watching Sean Hannity. I mean, he can't even go to sleep at night. You know. Right? Amen. Because those are the good guys. They're telling you how people are coming after you. Well, yeah, what do you need that for? Is that helpful? Is that helpful? Well, no, I want to find out the truth. Well, read the Bible. I want to find out the truth about the vaccination. Well, read the Bible. Well, it doesn't talk about the vaccination. It'll talk to you. The Word of God will talk to you. You will hear the Word of God. You will hear the voice of God. You will know exactly what you're supposed to be doing. Amen? Amen. That's who you need to hear. You don't need to be hearing, you know, all these other folks. Pastor Dave said, don't listen to anything. Well, I just said, be careful what you listen to. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. In college, be careful what you hear in college. Be careful what you hear. My son-in-law's in, my son-in-law, speaking by faith. My Esther's fiance is in law school up in Oklahoma. So, guys, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom. So grace and peace are multiplied to you. Did you know that? Grace and peace are multiplied to you. Are you enjoying that? I'm enjoying grace and peace right now. Hallelujah. I don't even know what it all is, but I'm enjoying the grace of God, the gift of God, and peace, joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's who you are. That's how you live. That's what you dwell in. Amen. Blessed be the God, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us. So you're born unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So you've been born unto a hope. You have a hope on the inside of you. That's so powerful. You can look around, you can read, watch the TV, you can look at your bank account, but you have a hope no matter what is going on in the natural. You have a hope that cannot be destroyed, a hope that cannot be run over, a hope that cannot be dissuaded or cast down. Over in Psalm 42? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. So you're talking again to your soul. You're saying, soul, hey, why are you cast down? Well, just because all this, why are you disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. So wonderful. You know what's so powerful is that the Word of God speaks to you. The Holy Ghost speaks to your discomforted brain. Your inside twisted up belly emotions. And the living God will speak to you and calm you, give you that peace. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Are you expecting that? And just come to the Lord in prayer in the morning or in the evening before you go to bed. Lord, thank you that I'm full of joy, full of peace. I cast all of this burden upon you right now, whether it's a job burden or a child burden. I've had all of them. Job burdens, child burdens, church burdens. Thank the Lord. All kinds of burdens. But cast them all upon the Lord and let Him manifest. School burdens. Maybe you got school burdens. Amen? Whatever you have, whatever's keeping you from sleeping, because the Lord gives His beloved sleep. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou alone causes me to dwell in safety. So thank Him for it. So blessed be that God, our Father, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. His resurrection is the hope that we have. His resurrection is the reason I have hope. Okay? He's begotten us again to a living hope, verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. Reserved in heaven for you. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a day that you will enter into the presence of the Lord just like Jesus did about 2,000 years ago. He got there first. Then 30 days ago, Pastor Jim got there next. Amen. 30 days ago. Imagine that. This is how time flies. Pretty soon Jesus will be here. Or if Jesus is not here, you'll be with Pastor Jim and Jesus. But until that time, you're here to declare the goodness of God, not to complain about what didn't work right. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, that's not a criticism. It's an encouragement. Because what happens is when we begin to complain, we begin to pay attention to listen to ourselves instead of listening to the Holy Spirit. We listen to our opinion rather than to God's provision. Amen? So I want you to listen to God's provision because you'll be happy. You'll be peaceful. You'll be joyful. The Holy Spirit is ministering to you, changing you. Hallelujah. I'm determined not to take an offense. Amen? I don't believe that's of God, is it? Taking an offense, what does that do? It puts focus on you, doesn't it? Well, by golly, that's not right, whatever that happened. Or you could have people take an offense for you. Do you know that? People will take an offense for you, and they'll encourage you to do something about that. You need to take that on. You know, maybe it's a lawyer that's trying to get you to, you know, give him a retainer. Yeah, go ahead. Hey, you need to give me about $1,500 so I can take this case up for you. You know, get into a class action suit. Or you just need to, maybe you just need to take a hurt. You ever heard somebody do that for you? They're trying to help you out. They want you to take a hurt. They want you to take an offense. Don't do it. In fact, if an offense comes up, say, I forgive them. Amen? Amen. Maybe you had an expectation. Maybe you had an expectation. Say, Father, I just repent of that expectation. I mean, if it was a promise from God, God will fulfill it. Amen? If it was a promise from God, God will fulfill it. But if it was an expectation of yours, based on something you did, then you just want to just let that go. Say, Father, thank you that you just deliver me from that. Deliver me from my own foolishness, my own thoughts. Let me walk in love. Because the enemy wants you to walk in pride. The enemy wants you to walk in selfishness. But God wants you to walk in joy, peace, rest, and to love your neighbor. To walk in love. Amen. That's how he wants you to walk. Why? Because that way you can minister the love of Jesus to them. You can set them free from their own fears, from their own burdens. Amen? Amen. This is it. You're just a minister of the gospel. You know, everybody here is a minister of the gospel. You're a minister of reconciliation. Not just the pastors, not just the elders, not just the bishops, not just the deacons. Everyone in this room. If you're born from above, one of the elect, born from above, sanctified by the Holy Spirit, and now his sanctification is taking place on the inside of you by his Spirit to sanctify your flesh, your mind, your will, your emotions, all those things that take on burdens and take on anger, take on offenses. Father, thank you right now that you just take all my offenses. I just release them to you, give them to you in the name of Jesus. Maybe it's somebody close to you. Maybe it's a family member, a husband, a wife, a child, a father, a mother, uncle, aunt, somebody you honored and somebody you lifted up and held in high esteem, and they either failed you or they came against you in some way. Let them go right now in Jesus' name. Release them right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I just release them right now in Jesus' name because I'm praying for them. Not that I wasn't praying for them, but I want them to see Jesus, but I have an anger problem on the inside. I just release that to you right now. I'm not checking it to see if it's gone. I just release it to you and trust you with it. I'm not checking my ability to walk in it or to change it. I'm trusting your ability to change it and to cause me to walk in peace and in love. Hallelujah. Amen. These epistles are good. Amen. They'll help you. You don't even have to read very far. Here's an inheritance, verse 4, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith to salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness. Now, we talked about that. Through manifold temptations, even though you're in heaviness, through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found to praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. In whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So that's what we do. We haven't seen Jesus. You know, I'm going to wait until I see him. No, no. We rejoice right now. See, you're rejoicing right now because he's already begun to manifest in your mind, your will, your emotions, in your heart. And you walk with him. Like Susie, he wakes you up in the middle of the night. And you don't mind it after a while. You know, because what happens, you know, to me, you know, you wake you up earlier than you were thinking of. And you're kind of like going, you know, I really want to go back to sleep, Jesus. It's just, you know, I stayed up too late anyway. But finally he just kind of sits there beside your bed. Anybody like that, you know? Where God will just sit there by the side of your bed. He'll just be very patient. But you know he's there. You know he's there. Okay. So you get up and you go in the other room. You tiptoe in there, trip over the dog. Our dog lays in the middle of the floor. And you never know where he's at. Thankfully, he's white. So he kind of reflects a little bit of light. But half time, I'm not looking for him. So all of a sudden, I kick the dog. Walking, stumble into the living room. Get your Bible in your lap. First thing you do, you put your Bible in your lap. Okay, what are you going to do? What are you going to say? Then a couple hours later, you know, after that, a couple hours later, you're like, hallelujah, that was good. God, thank you for that. You know, thank you for that. See, he's always wanted to talk to you. He's always wanted to talk to you. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Whom having not seen, you love. Verse 8. In whom, though you see him not, yet believing. You're the crazy people. You know, you're the people. You know, all 2,000 years of us. You know, the people who, having not seen him, you love him. Yet believing. With rejoice, and you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Receiving the end of your faith. Even the salvation of your souls. This is that process. Amen? This is, you know, right over here. This is 4, 5, 6, 4, 6, 5, 4, 6, 5, 5, 4. Yeah, that's it right there. Yeah. You can come up and look at it and figure it out. It's faith, discipleship, and love. And you're always in various stages of all. Because, you know, you got one part of your life that you're rejoicing in, one part of your life you're griping about, one part of your life that you're just, you know, hadn't even been touched yet, you know. But God's working on one and then the other and then the other, and that's okay. Don't get under condemnation. Listen to me. Don't get under condemnation because you see sins. Hello. Well, I thought I should. Thought I should be condemned. No, that's not the Holy Spirit. He's just working on you. He's a potter and you're on the wheel. You know, maybe there's a flaw underneath that nobody can see yet. But you know what? It's causing the vase to wobble. It may not even be able to stand up straight. You know? If something can't stand up straight, but it otherwise looks perfect, you're wondering, what's wrong? You're wondering, what's wrong? I mean, it looks like, you know, it should be perfect. But there's something maybe that you don't see, that God hadn't dealt with yet. Amen. But God's going to deal with it. He's going to deal with it. He's going to, don't worry about him. He's going to say, he's not, you know, without understanding. He knows exactly who you are. He created you. He's the potter. You're the clay. And he's manifesting himself in you. And he's going to get you just whipped into shape eventually. Eventually. But that doesn't prevent you from loving somebody or ministering the love of Jesus. Even though you still sin. See, people want to just quit working. They just want to quit. People just want to quit. You know, and just kind of go in the closet and just fall over. Amen? You ever done that? You know, well, God got to be mad at me. No, he's not finished with you. Amen. Back when I was a kid, we had a little thing that said, and I'm not going to tell anybody who's along with me. I'll say Paul, maybe. Paul knows one. Yeah, I wasn't going to pick on Leah again. Paul, what was that thing with the PBGBMCP power? You know, it says, please be, it was a little button. It had a bunch of random letters on it. It says, please be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. And it was just those initials of all of those words, you know. And that's my exhortation to you today. Read the button yourself. Please be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. That doesn't prevent you from ministering the love of Jesus to somebody. Doesn't prevent you from forgiving somebody. Doesn't prevent you from walking in the presence of God. Amen? Are you joyous, peaceful today? Say amen.
Amen.
See, yeah, that's good. Yeah, big bold jump. I'm joyful, peaceful, restful this morning. Quit introspecting all the time. Amen? People just so it's introspective. You know what that means? It's looking at your navel gazing. You're looking at your navel. You're looking at seeing how things are. You know, there might be fuzz in there. I don't know. But you might be in trouble because all you're doing is looking at you. Quit looking at you. Let's look at Jesus. Stop. Now, I understand. I've got this wicked, ugly, horrible sin. Well, go tell somebody. Tell your pastor about it. Why are you embarrassed? Well, then just stop doing it. I can't. Well, then just relax and rejoice and know that God is not finished with you yet.
Amen.
Okay? I want you to know that God loves you. He's loving you. He's loving you. He's not counting your sin against you. He's not marking your sin. He already put all your sin on Jesus. Every bit of it. Even the horrible one. Well, Jesus never did that one. Every sin is on him. The wickedest, grossest, nastiest, ever, never spoken of sin. It's on Jesus. He took it all and it's all been wiped clean.
Amen.
So I want you to receive that right now. Amen.
Amen.
Receive that right now. Walk in that. Sometimes when you're preaching, it just stuff comes up in between. Remember when Pastor Jim talked about the white fire? What's on the white part of the page? There's the black fire and the white fire. I think that was a Jewish rabbinical thing. Is that there's the white fire? What the Lord speaks to you when you're reading the Word, and all of a sudden there's something that you never saw. That's what you want to read for. Now, I'm not saying you're looking for some new doctrine. I'm saying that you never saw. All you saw first was the law. You never saw the grace. He wants you to see the grace. I do too. He wants you to see the grace, the mercy, the love that he has for you, not thou shalt. He'd rather hear you say, I shalt. You remember what he told Abraham? I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. If you'll just believe me, I'll do all this stuff. Verse 10. Of which salvation, receiving the, verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you. And it did. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. In other words, they were looking for it. They were looking for, okay, when's he coming? When's he showing up? When it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, which is us. To whom it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us. Talking about now Peter and those folks who were in that day had been born again when the first Holy Spirit first came. But to us did they minister the things. So the prophetic was ministering to us, those of us now who have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of the living God living on the inside of us. Which are now, but to us did they minister the things which are now reported to you by them that have preached the gospel to you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Well, angels are even like, what exactly did God do? We can't even figure it out. Verse 13 says, as we mentioned earlier, it says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. And here's what that is to do. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end. Hope to all the way to the end. Don't give up your hope. Hope just manifests day after day after day after day. How many of you believe Jesus Christ is coming again? That's your hope. Listen, that's hope. How many of you are going to give it up if he doesn't show up tomorrow? You didn't want to raise your hand, did you? No. So you're not going to give it up if he doesn't come tomorrow. How about the next day? How about the next day? How about the next day? This is the hope that lasts all the way to the day that Jesus comes, or until you go to see him. So gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, Romans 12:2. Of course, it talks about don't be conformed to this world. You can easily forsake your hope by being conformed to this world. So be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might demonstrate, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of your conversation. That is, all manner of your lifestyle. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect to persons judges according to every man's work, pass your time here of sojourning in here with fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, your prior life, received by tradition from your fathers. He's talking about Jewish traditions. Of course, it could be, in our case, could be Christian traditions, couldn't it? But with the precious blood of... transformed, redeemed, with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Well, interesting. So we talked about that right there. He said, be holy for I am holy. But then he goes on to tell you how you were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus. That's how your holiness manifests, is because of the precious blood of Jesus. He said, be ye holy for I am holy. But then he makes you holy. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And that's the church he's coming for, isn't it? That's the church he's coming for. But it's not a church that's going to do it in its own strength and its own power. The church of God is being transformed by Jesus. Amen? He's being transformed by Jesus. Come into his presence. You know, it doesn't take a long time to come into the presence of God. People want to get rid of all their sin first. Boy, that's a waste of time. I tell you, have you ever tried to get... I am one of those people. The reason I never get anything done is because I get everything else done. None of you are like me, I'm sure. It's not true. But the devil wants me to think it's just me. How many of you, you just cannot get the thing done because there's 25 other things you got to get done before you get the thing done. Huh? Anybody like that? Yeah, it's Oboe. Yeah, me and Oboe. Yeah, we talk about that on the trip down to the thing. I mean, it's just like you never get the main thing. The main thing can never be the main thing because you got five little tiny little critters that, you got to clean up that spot. Got to get the dishwasher unloaded. We do that at my house. We unload the dishwasher. It's crazy. And one other thing, feed the dog. Clean up this, clean up that, fix that up. I mean, that's the devil, isn't it? It's just the devil trying to keep you from sitting down and reading that book. Then you're the guy who reads the book and reads the book and reads the book and reads the book. Everything's falling down around you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Honey, can you take out the trash? Next week. I'm reading. Here's a little note. Here's a little thing saying. There's a little song. One of the girls was showing me about some guy. Gosh, what was his name? Julia Day. I'm reading a book, man. I'm reading a book. Don't you ever interrupt me when I'm reading a book. And we know people like that, too. Praise the Lord. But I'm telling you, see, the devil wants you to get under condemnation no matter who you are. The devil wants you to get under condemnation no matter who you are. He'll figure a way to do it. He's got your number. Amen? Doesn't the devil have your number? He calls you all the time. Hey, got something for you to do. And so you want to say, no, I'm just going to listen to Jesus. So you block his number. So you want to hear from Jesus and let him. So I want you to never, never, never get under condemnation. God does not condemn you. Amen?
Amen.
God does not condemn you. You tend to condemn yourself. You know, you just cry and you spend a lot of time. Guilt and condemnation is from the devil. Amen. It's from the devil. And so he's basically trying to keep you busy. So instead of coming into the presence of God, you're just, you know, busy, you know, trying to figure out how to get out of your sin. Well, you can't. Just let Jesus get you out of your sin. Just let Jesus fix it. Amen. You know, now I'm not saying if a sin's coming right up in your face and you say, no, I'm not going to do that today. You can agree with God. You can agree with God. But then don't expect, just don't expect it to be able to keep it up. Don't expect to be able to keep it up. Say, let God take it from you. Amen? I mean, there are outward consequences to sin. Anybody know that? Some of you are kind of looking left, looking right, making sure that nobody's looking. I mean, just you know, you make sure you're nobody's looking when you're going to take advantage of that little privilege. You know, so there's consequences. I just recommend don't do anything there's consequences to. I just recommend that. You take it or leave it. But don't expect that that's God making you do something. He's going to deliver you. He's going to deliver you. He's delivering you from the burden of sin that he's already taken from you. It's just in your body. It's just in your mind. It's the fact that you're believing a lie. Sin is a result of believing a lie that you're not delivered or that you lack something that you have to provide for yourself. No. I have everything. I need nothing. So when that thought comes up, you say, no, I don't need it. I don't need anything. I'm fine. I've got everything I need. Jesus provides all of my needs. I have full capacity for everything. So in Jesus' name. And there's no condemnation. Amen. All right. So you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world was made manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and your hope might be in God. So it's all him. Seeing that you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit, to unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. We talked about that earlier. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. So that word of God is the seed that has born you, birthed you into the kingdom of God. But of the incorruptible word of God, which lives and abides forever. For all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass, and the grass withers, and the flower fades. But the word of our God endures forever. Amen. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached to you. Amen. Peter, talking about how the Word of God and the Holy Spirit come in to change and transform you from one degree of glory to the next. Amen? This is who you are. So just enjoy the daily walk with Jesus. Don't be afraid to come into His presence. I was going to say it a minute ago. You don't have to suffer to come into the presence of God. You just step in. Just open your mouth. You know, maybe you swore a minute ago. Then you just say, Jesus, I love You. Thank You that You love me. Thank You that there is nothing between You and I. Thank You that the power of God, I don't have to grovel for an hour or moan and groan or whine for an hour. Does everybody understand?
Yeah.
You don't have to do that. Let's get this fixed before we go in. Well, how long is it going to take? No, doesn't take a bit. Doesn't take nothing. So just enjoy the presence of God. I want you to come in. Enjoy the presence of God. Every single person, man, woman, child, just say, Jesus. I mean, you could even walk into the bathroom. Between the hallway and the inside of the bathroom. You say, but Jesus, thank You that You love me so much. Or you can walk around praying in other tongues. Well, that's another message. We'll talk about that later. Amen. Just hapasana mokoroko de bakasa. Or you could sing. You could sing in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:15 says, what is it then? I will pray in the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So you can just sing all the way up the aisle.
Amen.
You can pray all the way down the aisle. You don't have to do anything fancy. Amen? Thank You, God. Learn how to just pray in other tongues. He said, I will. Now the Holy Spirit gives the utterance for a word of prophetic utterance. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14 says, if any man prays in an unknown tongue, his spirit prays. But his understanding is unfruitful. Here, howbeit in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Jude verse 20 says, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Romans 8:26 says, for we know not how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit prays, intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. It's powerful to walk and pray in the Holy Ghost. Thank You, Jesus. Well, Father, we thank You today for this word. We thank You today for the Bible. Thank You that You are speaking to us. Whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, we hear Your voice as we read the Scriptures. So, Father, let us get past doing umpteen things before we get to the main thing. Let us read the Scriptures. Whether it's morning, whether it's afternoon, whether it's after lunch, whether it's evening, let us read the Scriptures. And let us hear the voice of God speak to our hearts. Let us learn to hear Your voice. Learn the still small voice. Because when in the book of the prophet, it says the voice was not in the whirlwind and the voice was not in the ocean. The voice was in the still small voice. Father, thank You that we hear Your still small voice. Thank You that we're forgiven today. I'm forgiven. I don't take an offense. I'm a lover. I walk with You and You walk with me. There's nothing that shall separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Neither height, nor depth, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We give you glory and we give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Anybody have a testimony?